Hey everyone, welcome back to Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
Hey, it's Sunday night. What a wonderful week it's been. I'm so proud of everyone for getting through another one.
Yep.
Congratulations, Dory.
Congratulations, Matt.
Yeah, I did it. That's an updated invitation. And this is the podcast rundown.
You finished another week of work.
I did. I got through that.
Now you have a week off.
Yep, I got a week. You know. Oh fuck! I have a table read tomorrow. Anyway, yeah, a week off, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to remember to do that?
There's a thing called a calendar.
I literally forgot about it until just now. Anyway, yeah, so I got, you know, I'm sure there will be production meetings, tone meetings, obviously table read, let's see, 1:30 p.m. I'll just keep this open somewhere over here.
Okie dokie.
That's how I'll remember. I'll keep the email open.
Oh, boy. You know, they say that people with ADHD need to like develop systems.
Is that a system? Did I develop it?
I don't know.
Does it work? TBD.
Right.
Don't exactly. Think it does.
Yeah.
I had an old system of keeping emails I wanted to reply to unread. So I'm at 107,000 emails that are unread. 107,519.
Yeah, that's not a good system.
Okay. But I know how many emails I have. So,
okay.
What does that tell you?
You have a lot of unread emails.
Yes, I do.
That's what that tells me.
Anyway, what's going on? What's new in the hood?
In my hood?
Yep.
Well, Holly's last day was Friday.
It was indeed. The only friend Henry's ever known has moved on to bigger and better things.
Well, he did. He has had a couple of playground friends. One of which
I don't count them.
We had a holiday card from, and he would like gaze at him longingly.
Yes,
which made me very sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Holly's been with us since he was like
born
2 weeks old or something. So he definitely was very bonded to her.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did look at her photo today for like a good 30 seconds and then placed it face down on the dining room table.
I got a photo of her and him and her dog, Molly, who came to work every day, who Henry really bonded with also.
Yeah, he likes a smaller dog.
And I put in a frame for him and one for her, so they would have the same photo.
Yeah, very sweet.
And he's been intrigued by it, I would say.
Yeah, he does, you know, he's passing his stop and stares.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of stop and stares.
I mean, he likes photos. He does. We have a credenza with some framed photos on it, and he always, like, stops and looks at them.
Mm-hmm.
So...
he really has been staring at the 2015 Disney trip quite a bit.
Mm.
Like that little collage, mm-hmm, he stares at.
I wonder if he recognizes us. He must.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have a beard in it. It's pretty hard not to recognize me.
Yeah.
You look exactly the same. Wonder if he's confused by the two children he's never met in there, even though he has met them, but he was, you know, not even one.
Yeah, he was 5 months old.
Yeah, we went to Boston.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that cray?
That is cray cray.
You're just missing so many things. I didn't even realize it until just this evening when I was watching videos. This guy on YouTube called The Carpetbagger, he does travel videos, usually road trip stuff. Anyway, he's in Las Vegas, and then he was at the arcade in... I don't remember which casino it was. Probably New York, New York. And I was just looking at all the little arcade cars, you know? Mm-hmm. You put a quarter or whatever in and the car goes like this. Mm-hmm. Henry would love that.
Yeah.
He's never been on one.
No.
Oh, my God. What else is he missing out on?
I mean...
Besides everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, besides everything. I try not to think about it because it's too depressing.
You try... I mean, look, I mean, he's been to an aquarium in his life, right?
When?
I don't know. He didn't go to an aquarium? I don't remember. In the before times.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But there's a lot out there for him. Which, maybe that's the age to introduce people to things. You know? Post-pandemic.
Sure.
That seems like it's the age. What else is going on here? Boy, I'm a little like, I forgot about that table read until you talked about me being off work.
Does that throw a wrench in your plans?
A little bit, yeah. I've got a lot of work to do before Wednesday. So, who knows?
Okay.
Will I get it done? Tune in next week to find out.
I have the final, like, pass of my book to turn in.
Yeah?
I have to turn it in by next Thursday.
This is post-copy edit.
Correct. This is like formatted, like it looks like it will look in the book.
And when do you, like, what kind of changes can you make at that point?
You're really not supposed to make many changes.
Yeah.
And they say if you make too many changes that you get charged.
Probably for like some like ink maybe.
Well, I think, you know, they've gone through production and like they've laid out the book. They know how many pages it is. Like, yeah. If you start adding like a chapter.
Ooh, how many pages is it, honey?
It's 304 pages.
That is a exclusive. It is.
Yeah, it is. It's true.
I'm excited. Oh, 300. That's good. I think that that's a good memoir length.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking it would be like 270. So 300 feels good. That's meaty.
Yeah. I mean, the pages are small.
What?
But. It's 304 pages.
What do you mean the pages are small?
I mean, it's not like one of those huge books with like tons of small print.
Your hand is like you're holding out like a Toshin-sized book. No one thought it would be a Toshin-sized book.
You know, I read a memoir recently. Someone was on the podcast and it felt like her pages were large and her print was very small and like very, like spaced very close together. Like her pages felt denser with type, I suppose.
Gotcha.
And mine feel like normal. Like I was reading another book recently and I was like, oh, I think this is what my book will look like.
I like, you know, I like the traditional, you know, I like a hardcover that's about this thick.
I think it'll be about that thick.
Yeah.
I know you guys can't see how thick he's.
But about this thick.
But you know.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
Will it be that thick?
I don't know what you're pointing to.
Pointing to that prop.
Oh no!
Prop cookbook.
I mean, it could be if we put like three words on each page.
Okay,
I can see what they can do.
That's exciting. I wonder what the runtime is going to be.
Well, they have it like if you look it up like on Audible or whatever or Amazon, it says 7 hours, but like they've clearly just made that up because I have not recorded the audiobook yet.
Yeah. But maybe they just, I assume they can do quite a bit of guesstimating.
Right, based on like number of words and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, based on the average of all audiobooks.
So supposedly 7 hours. That's a solid audiobook length.
Is there
length.
Any part of you that wants to pay Matt Berry to read it?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that would be just, I think, the right thing to do.
Well, I think there should be like a director's cut.
Of your book.
Yes, with
that
Matt Berry.
Just somebody else reading it.
That is Matt Berry just reading like a chapter of his choice.
It'll be interesting. Like Chuck Klosterman's last book he read, which he had not really done before.
That is interesting.
And I was like, what is this? Is this like some other... I thought, oh, is this like a revenue stream now for authors?
I mean, you do get paid a little bit more.
Yeah.
But it's not like substantial. And you get the royalties from your audiobook anyway, whether or not right. you read it or not. I don't think you get like a performance royalty.
Will there be any words that you deliberately pronounce in an accent?
I'll probably say schedule.
Okay. That's a real question, though.
That I pronounce in an accent?
Like, I assume at some point you have dialogue from your father.
No. I don't think there's actual dialogue.
Oh, really? In the entire book?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is that interesting?
I don't know.
Am I imagining that that's a thing?
I mean, he's...
Maybe I'm just reading out. I read novels. I don't know. I don't know. I was really hoping you'd throw on a very thick Israeli accent.
I describe his accent, but there's not, like... I don't think there's, like, actual dialogue with him.
Is there dialogue in the book?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Should I do an accent for you?
Yes.
Matt Berry's accent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fire the nuclear weapons! Up Periscope! If you're all not watching Toast of London on Netflix, you're missing out. Sure, it's a show that hasn't been made in 5 years and is 3 6-episode seasons, but worth your time.
But you should get ready for Toast of Hollywood.
Toast of Tinseltown.
Oh, sorry, Toast of Tinseltown.
Come on. I really hope Ed comes back and Harry Peacock is Ray Purchase.
Hmm.
Love to see Ray Purchase in Hollywood.
I mean, I just feel like his eyes would like bug out of his head.
What?
He'd like go to all the agencies expecting to get meetings.
I'm looking forward to what they do with that. We'll see. What else is new? We are almost done with season 2 of What We Do in the Shadows. Speaking of Matt Berry, your Matt Berry Minute.
Mm-hmm.
In the last week, I've watched all of the IT Crowd.
He has.
4 seasons plus an hour long episode. And you're like, wow, that's a lot of watching. They're 6 episodes a season. Oh, England.
How do actors and writers make money with 6-episode seasons?
I don't know. Maybe they just go do a bunch of seasons of things in a year.
Mm.
I don't know. I was listening to, I was watching one of the featurettes on the Toast DVD, and the director was talking about working on it for 6 months, and I was like, that's a long time. I mean, I guess prep and then shooting it, but that's half a year gone on a 6-episode thing. And, you know, we go August, let's see, we go August to, we do 6 months, we do 22 episodes.
Oh my God.
So.
I mean, but you're not subsidized by the government.
Nor were they. That's Channel 4.
Mm. Okay, take it back.
They will be, though. Toast of Tinseltown, season 4 of Toast is going to be on the BBC.
Oh, well, well, well.
Wow. No one cares about this. I don't know why I go on and on about it. I'm sorry, everyone.
Alrighty.
Hope you're all enjoying WandaVision. Number one show in the world.
Is it?
Yeah.
But like Netflix doesn't release real numbers, so how do
they
know that?
That's not Netflix, it's Disney Plus.
Oh, sorry, Disney Plus. Does traffic. Disney Plus? What does that mean?
Internet traffic. And it crashed, it crashed Disney Plus servers the other night.
Do you think that's
when
true?
It came out.
Or do you think they're just putting that out as like PR?
No, I think I heard that from somebody who tried to watch it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I don't know. I mean, isn't there some sort of streamy award thing? Like some sort of like where you could go find that information out?
No. No one has like real figures. That's the thing. That's the thing about streaming.
I guess I could. I'll type WandaVision ratings, and I don't know what that will give me. Nothing. Oh, that'll just give me review.
Mm.
Breaks into Nielsen's top 10 streaming rankings. This was February 12th. Disney Plus's reality warping WandaVision was one of the 10 most watched original streaming shows platforms the week of its debut, according to Nielsen estimates. See? Okay. So that's how that works. Nielsen estimates it.
Which, like,
so for the week of the 11th, Shonda Rhimes was number one with her program, and then Cobra Kai, Night Stalker. Oh, I see. I see. The show came in at number six, matching an estimated 434 million minutes watched over the first 3 days. What? That's how they do it. They do it by minutes. That's an interesting. How do you know? How do they know? Very curious about that. Just number six movie was Frozen 2.
Wow.
100. And 60 million minutes streamed.
All right. Well, listen, before we take a break, we just want to remind you that you can join our Facebook group. It's not ours. It's the Facebook group for the podcast where people discuss anything related to infertility generally at facebook.com/groups/eggslandadventure.
Yes.
We do have a Patreon where you can get up to 2 bonus episodes per month at patreon.com/eggslandadventure. And we love to get emails and voicemails and texts from you. So you can email us at dorianmatt@gmail.com, mattanddory@gmail.com. You can email us a voice memo at those email addresses. You can call or text us at 413-461-BABY.
According to this Forbes report, Disney Plus looks to have a second successful original with WandaVision rising to the status of number one series worldwide. According to Parrot Analytics, the audience attention measurement that captured audience behavior data set by sifting through social media.
I mean, like, this is all made up.
It is all made up. It's very made up.
So, I mean, okay, you know. Sure, number one show worldwide. Like, probably.
I mean, look at, here's what I would say.
Probably, but like, they don't actually know.
Disney Plus, you know, they were trying to get, like, what was in the first 5 years? They wanted to get 90 million subscribers.
I don't know.
And they hit that, like, with The Mandalorian or something. I don't know. Whatever. That was your streaming minute. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look. They finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters, and that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar. Or for Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. All right, we're back over off the streaming desk. Now on to the infertility desk.
So
what news do we have?
Well, we got a follow-up from Jessica, who wrote us last week on the eve of her induction. Do you remember her?
Yes, I do.
She wrote, "Hi, Matt and Dory. Thanks for reviewing newborn sleep on your last episode. It was helpful as I navigate it with my little one. As a follow-up, since I wrote on the eve of my induction, we had a baby girl, Savannah. The induction did not work, so we ended up with a C-section.
Sounds familiar.
Yep. I'm recovering well. Savannah is a little over a week old, and my husband and I are adjusting and learning as best we can, but are loving our little girl. Thanks again for your podcast and helping to educate me on the IVF process, which resulted in our little blessing. Your podcast was a huge influence. Best, Jessica."
Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
For thanking Dory.
And you.
I don't, it's okay. You don't have to thank me.
Okay.
Today it's all about you, honey.
What?
Because you have a 300 and some odd page book coming.
Thank you.
That was also induced by your publisher.
And had to have an emergency C-section. All right. So we got some more emails about like DNA fragmentation varicocele stuff.
Yeah.
Which has been kind of an ongoing topic of conversation.
Hot topic.
For the last few weeks.
That's some hot sperm.
That's probably part of the problem. The sperm's too hot.
Hot sperm topic.
This is from Allison. "Responding to the egg signal about DNA fragmentation testing, I'm pretty sure I went to the same Minneapolis clinic as the listener who wrote in. My RE there also refused to do DNA fragmentation testing on my husband, even though I had 3 cycles where I got 20 to 40 eggs and ended up with only 1 crappy quality blastocyst each time. She said that it was pointless since they couldn't do anything about it. There's actually a procedure called PICSI that helps with sperm DNA fragmentation."
Is this like pick like a P on top of ICSI?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
"But few U.S. clinics do it. I stuck with this clinic for 3 awful cycles because I had to do the full 3 cycles to get my money back via Attain. Then I switched to CCRM in Denver, aka Lone Tree, and got 4 decent quality blastocysts in 1 retrieval there.
Where we were going to go.
Mm-hmm. Better than 3 cycles at my Minneapolis clinic. 2 of them are my twins who will be 3 in April. I chose the CCRM mothership in Colorado over the CCRM in Edina, a Minneapolis suburb, because I wanted to be at the main clinic, but I've heard fabulous things about the, I think it's Edina, not Edina, CCRM.
Okay.
So the listener should definitely check them out. By the way, CCRM in Colorado does do PICSI and routinely test for DNA fragmentation, but it ended up not being an issue for us, so I don't have any more advice on that front. Allison with a husband, almost 3-year-old twin boys, and a grumpy old dog in the Minneapolis suburbs."
I'm glad to hear that your CCRM experience was better.
Yeah, it sounds like it was much better.
I would say, what's the math on that? Was it, let's see.
She got 4 great blastocysts in 1 cycle versus 3 crappy blastocysts in 3 cycles.
Sounds like a 400% increase.
Just sounds.
In good blastocysts.
So much better. Thank you, Allison, for sharing.
Well, wait. So what did they do differently regarding the husband's sperm?
She doesn't say, since it says, she does say that DNA fragmentation ended up not being an issue. She doesn't say what CCRM did differently.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We probably just had better protocols.
Yeah.
That's intriguing, actually.
Well, and I think they have a really good lab.
I'm interested now.
That ship has sailed, my friend.
Where'd it go?
It's too late.
Why? We're dying?
I'm 43.
So?
And your sperm is not good. And you've thus far refused to do anything to improve
CCRM.
It.
CCRM. I improved it like a gajillion percent that one time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, continue.
All right. This is from Lacey. I like that I told you this 3 years ago, but took...
Dory Shafrir, please. Let's recall the CCRM discussion.
Uh-huh.
It was pre-Henry.
Uh-huh.
And we said, you had called them without telling me,
mm-hmm.
and set up some sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
informational call.
Sure. And I said, why don't we put the embryo that we have in,
mm-hmm.
and see if that
you
takes.
Did. Yes, you
now
did
we have
that.
Henry.
Yes, we do.
And that was our plan.
Yep, that was our plan.
So don't run around being like, well, the CCRM ship sailed. Well, it sailed because we have a sleeping baby right now.
We do. He is sleeping. He's all cuddled up against his stuffed animals.
Yeah. You know, don't you love the way he only lets me read 4 pages of one book now?
I'm sorry to laugh, but he's just like, he's like so...
He's a tyrant.
He's a tyrant.
He's a bedtime tyrant.
We used to have this really lovely bedtime where he would sit on my lap, but Matt would read the books.
Yeah.
And then like all of a sudden he decided that only Mama could read
it
the books.
It wasn't all of a sudden. I can tell you exactly what led to it. It was COVID. And then I disappeared and went back to work.
Oh, and I'd been doing...
And you had been doing all of the reading.
Right.
And then he got into this routine, mm-hmm. for a whopping 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now only lets me read the book where I tickle him.
Yeah, it's the four...
Which Rye's like, don't even tickle babies.
Yeah. It's the 4 pages of Oink Oink Moo. He likes you to start with the frog.
I gotta start with the frog saying ribbit, which is, thank you, Henry. It's 2 more pages than I used to get to read.
That's true.
Because he started me a little earlier.
Yeah.
He's like, he liked the warm
up. He likes the lead up.
He really likes to get the frog and
the mouse.
Cow. The frog, the mouse, and the cow.
And then the bird.
And the bird.
But as soon as the bird is over.
I'm done.
Yeah.
He takes the book out of
your hands. I tried to let him.
It's funny because like in the morning, if I get him, you know.
He'll let you read
to
him.
Hand me a book and I'll read him whatever the hell he wants to read.
But at bedtime.
But at nighttime, his, you know, I don't know. It's just like a day of having to listen to us. And then he's like, well, now it's my turf. And you got to do what I say. You read this. Not you. You.
I tried to have him let Matt read Corduroy tonight.
It used to be my jam.
And he was like, uh-uh.
Nope.
He grabbed it.
Even after I opened the book to the first page, he was like,
and like threw it into my hand.
Yep. You read this. He doesn't read this. Anyway.
It makes me sad, but I think it's just...
I think it's funny.
It's like a phase, like everything
I really,
else.
I don't really think anything of it.
Okay, good.
I do think it's...
You seemed slightly sad about it.
Well,
so then I was
I'm
sad
only
about
sad
it.
Sad about it in the sense that, like tonight, for instance, when we were putting him to bed, and I have nothing to do, and I'm just like, I like almost fell asleep.
Yeah, you did.
I would say today, I have done some very quick sitting down sleeping.
You have. You've taken some
like
real cat
suddenly,
naps.
All that, you know, I used to think about, you know, I used to watch my dad nap and I'd go, I don't know how he does it. His head isn't even against a pillow. He's just sitting and he can nap. I don't know how that's possible. I need a whole setup to nap. And then like today I fell asleep in a chair outside. Then I fell asleep in a chair inside. Then I fell asleep on a day bed while we were reading to our son. I fell asleep in here, I believe, also. Well, that might have been yesterday. I don't remember. Yeah, I got really, I don't know. I just like, I'm tired. I do know that.
Yeah.
First couple days after a hiatus, after a shooting block, it's like, your body just like, is like, well, you better get up at 5:50 anyway.
Right.
For no reason. So like today I went out and watched some TV in the morning and I'm excited to get out of bed. Usually because I'm uncomfortable and it's hot. And then I'm like, I can get out of bed and be more comfortable. Is that a weird thing?
Wow. Okay. This is from Lacey. My husband and I started our IVF journey 3 years ago when I was 32. He was 29. After 2 years of trying on our own, after we both did our initial testing with our RE, we found out my husband had a low sperm count of 5 million. He met with a reproductive urologist who suggested he had have a bilateral varicocelectomy. He had the surgery in June 2018, where they essentially tied off specific veins that restored blood flow to his testicles. We waited 3 months to have a semen analysis again. And after the surgery, his sperm counts went up almost 75%, from 5 million to 19 million. In February 2019, when we did our first egg retrieval, we retrieved 9 eggs, 7 mature, all 7 fertilized, and ended up with 3 PGS normal embryos. I think the varicocele surgery had a large part in our success of better sperm quality and higher fertilization rate. So all in all, I do think it was worth the 6 month wait. I knew we would most likely end up going the IVF with ICSI path, but I do think it helped greatly in our success rate. Our first transfer in May 2019 was a success and gave us our now 14 month old Henry.
Nice name.
We go back for transfer number 2 this week. I cannot say enough how much I love the community you have created with this podcast and Facebook group. It has made me realize we are not alone in this journey together. Thank you for creating this outlet and keeping up with the podcast. Thanks, Lacey, in 2,600 square feet in Houston. 0 hot dogs consumed in 2021. Fun fact, I was eating a Sonic corn dog yesterday while listening to Patreon, where you discussed corn dogs are not a part of the hot dog count.
Correct.
P.S. I'm the Patreon supporter who keeps writing in with Goldberg names to see if Matt will read it and get distracted, and it gives me life. So far, he has noticed 2 of them and stopped mid-sentence. Jackie Geary on August 12th, 2018. Uh-huh. Whoa, that's a character on the Goldbergs.
Yeah.
Episode 97. Dana Caldwell, 2821. Whoa, that could be the real Dana Caldwell from Philly. Episode 314.
That's true. I did. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
So.
That's pretty funny.
Keep them coming.
I love that she's doing
that.
I
bet you. Wait, have I missed any?
I mean, it sounds like you might have.
Oh, that's very curious.
You've noticed 2 of them.
Oh, boy. Oh, maybe I haven't been the one reading.
Oh, that's possible.
And then it sort of just didn't trigger. That's interesting.
I like this game. Now you'll have to look for them.
I'm looking forward to the rest of this game.
All right.
Here's a fun fact for you, listener who enjoys the show. So years ago, I would say during season 2 or 3, there was a charity auction. To have a character on the Goldbergs named after you. So it was like, and the auction was to benefit sick. It was something. It was a benefit for a disease. And the person that won was William Vanica. That's the name. And I'm not kidding. We tried so many times from season 4 through, God, I think finally in season 6, the name lived. Like, William Vanica did so many wacky things, they ended all, like, all got cut for time.
Oh, no.
So, but it was like it became like.
Like a running joke.
Like a running joke in the writer's room of, like, naming this person William Vanica. And, like, if we didn't like a storyline, we'd be like, well, why don't we just put William Vanica in there and then it'll go away. But we finally got it. We finally did it.
Oh, thank God.
I don't even remember what episode we got.
Do you remember who played him?
It was never a person.
Oh, he just had to be mentioned.
Yeah,
I see.
Like, it could be in a principal's announcement or whatever.
I get it. Got it.
Always happened to get cut, and then we finally got it.
That's really funny. I wonder if he ever, like, checked back. Like, if he was like, where's my name?
I should hope so.
I know, right?
It was the kid.
I was a kid?
Yeah, it was a... Yeah.
Oh. All right. Another egg signal had gone out about PCOS. Someone was wondering if people had non-IVF pregnancies with PCOS.
Yes, I remember that question.
Okay. So this is from Ashley, who writes, I was diagnosed with PCOS as a teenager. At 29, I was a newlywed. We knew we wanted a family and anticipated a long road. We decided to get started early in our marriage. Lo and behold, one round of Clomid and we got our first daughter. We tried for years to have another. Some things we tried the old-fashioned way, several other rounds of Clomid, several rounds another pill called Letrozole, metformin, metformin plus all those other drugs, injectable trigger shots, sex every day for 45 days since we had no idea when I ovulated. I tried medically supervised weight loss program, bariatric doctor, very low-calorie diet, but no surgery. Nothing worked. That was 5 years. We decided to take a break in June of 2019 and start IUI in March of 2020. After a trip to Disney World that February, what insurance we had insisted we try IUI first. Our clinic then shut down for new rounds because of COVID-19. When our clinic opened again at the beginning of May, we had a virtual appointment and they insisted on another pregnancy test before we began. I hadn't had a cycle since February and a pee on a stick test in mid-April had come back negative. I did another home test and on May 1st found out I was pregnant. There's no guarantee that any pregnancy will go to term, science assisted or not. My first science baby was carried to term. I was induced at 38 weeks and had a medicated delivery. My second spontaneous baby was delivered early at 34 weeks with an emergency C-section after my water broke and spent 3 weeks in the NICU. There's no rhyme or reason to any of this. Here are some things I suggest for two folks with PCOS. First thing, have your husband tested too. If you're in a partnership with a husband, just add, that is my editorial ad. No need for y'all to try for a spontaneous pregnancy for months without knowing your husband's reproductive health status. Vitamin D supplements. There's some research out of Europe that suggests vitamin D supplements help with oocyte, that's egg, growth and ovulation. A supplement recommended by my RE called Ovadisol. Changing your diet. My husband and I started the Daniel fast at the beginning of lockdown in 2020. It's essentially vegan with more restrictions. No leavened bread, no sweets or desserts, and no caffeine, ideally only water. There's a spiritual component as well, but we aren't religious. PCOS is not a one-size-fits-all disorder. It affects all of us differently. Do research online, check with your doctor. Your fears won't magically go away because you get pregnant. I would also seek out a therapist specializing in infertility. As with all the people who need to use assisted reproductive therapies, it's harder for us because we have to decide to get pregnant. There likely won't be any accidents or surprises, except she had a surprise.
Yeah.
Sometimes making the decision to move forward is the scariest step. Best wishes to the listener who wrote in and everyone else in the same boat. That is from longtime listener and patron supporter, Ashley Sissel Lee.
Wow.
And she is in 1,200 square feet in the suburbs of Atlanta with two adults, a 6.5-year-old, a 3-month-old, and half a Costco hot dog in 2021.
Didn't quite get through it.
Nope.
Those are big dogs. I get it.
Yeah. Ashley, well, first of all, congratulations on your 3-month-old and here, your 6.5-year-old. Thank you for this information. This is very helpful. And we did get another email about PCOS that I just want to read before we take another break. Mm-hmm. This is from Anonymous. I also have PCOS. I was diagnosed after the husband and I had been trying to make a kid the old-fashioned way for about a year. Even though in hindsight it was pretty obvious, and I'm a little irritated no doctor ever mentioned that my complete lack of a regular period, or sometimes any period, probably indicated I wasn't ovulating most of the time. First, being worried about pregnancy loss is extremely fair. I'm currently pregnant with baby number 2, but I've been pregnant 5 times, i.e. lost 3 pregnancies. My miscarriages all sucked, but 2 in particular were really rough for me and my spouse. That being said, baby number 1 has been the best thing I've ever done in my life. And even though I think about the pregnancies that didn't work out daily, the joy I get from my son pretty far outweighs my sadness. Second, like your doctor said, natural pregnancies are probably very possible. Even after I was diagnosed with PCOS, I was told I'd likely be able to have kids the old-fashioned way. As we'd already been trying for a year with no luck at that point, I asked for something to help with ovulation. We then did 5 cycles of Clomid. We got pregnant twice, but lost both of those. One was ectopic, and the second was too early to know the reason, but doctors suspected something genetic. After that, we moved to IVF and got my son. At that point, I assumed IVF was probably the only way for us to have kids. We transferred a second embryo in August 2020, hoping we could get lucky again. Unfortunately, that pregnancy was an empty gestational sac, which we were told probably meant something genetically abnormal with our embryo. We didn't pay for genetic testing on any of our embryos. Anyways, after miscarrying, I kept waiting for a period to return, and it never did. Turns out we had a spontaneous pregnancy, the first in my life. I'm currently 21 weeks with a very wiggly second kid. All this is to say, fertility is super weird and it's hard to say what's possible and what's not. Pregnancy loss sucks and I understand your hesitation. My understanding is that we've lost several pregnancies, probably due to a messed up fallopian tube and some undiagnosed genetic factor, i.e. it's not just PCOS. Last, I saw a therapist for a long time because both pregnancy anxiety and actually miscarrying are really rough. If you decide to get pregnant, a therapist might be able to help you navigate the anxiety and work through pregnancy loss if you experience it, which I hope you don't. Thanks for the podcast. This is from Anonymous in 1,500 square feet in northern New Mexico. With a husband.
Northern New Mexico.
Yeah, northern New Mexico. A 20-month-old, a 21-week-old pregnancy, and a very energetic, wire-haired, pointing Griffon mix.
Well, that's quite a dog.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, we're going to take another short break.
All right. We'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're back. Dory just explained podcast things to me. How does that feel?
Podcast math.
How does that feel?
That I'm explaining podcast things yes. to you? It's weird.
It is.
It's weird.
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Spread your wings and fly.
I mean, I have.
Yeah, but have you done it listening to Sugar Ray?
No, but you are the wind beneath my wings.
Mm. Beaches.
Mm.
Okay. Do you watch Beaches, Dory?
I mean, yeah, I've seen Beaches many times.
When was the last time you watched Beaches?
Oh, years ago.
Well, I feel like you should get the girls together.
I mean, I
zoom it up.
It's so sad.
And watch Beaches.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I needed a good cry, I would watch Beaches.
When don't you?
That's a great point.
Thank you. Yeah. All right.
Okay. This next email is from Stephanie, who is responding to another listener who had written in who was worried about two under two. Remember that conversation?
Yes, I do. Two under two. And yep. I was like, that's crazy. It seems so hard. And my mother was like, your brother and sister were two under two.
All right. Stephanie says, first of all, you are not the asshole. I'm sorry your family and husband are making you feel like that, but it's not the case at all. I had two kids 13 months apart thanks to a failed IUD, and I'm not going to lie, it's not easy. It's also not the scariest and hardest thing in the world either. And for some things, it was really nice because you just did everything and it's still like second nature. I will say, though, you do need help. As a mom who had two under two, I highly recommend getting a postpartum doula, especially if your partner is not the most helpful. A postpartum doula can help with all the baby things and can be there with your husband and can teach him and hopefully give him confidence to be able to do some of those baby things alone. Having a postpartum doula actually inspired me to become a postpartum doula.
What?
That's how much of an impact she had on my family. I know it's a financial investment, but having the support you need is extremely important and can set your entire family up better for now and the future. And if your husband isn't willing to provide physical support to you and his children, then you need to find it somewhere. I also know it can be concerning to have a new person in your house during a pandemic, but most doulas I know are putting safety protocols in their contracts. I'm wishing this listener all of the luck. From Stephanie, who is says it's me, my husband, a 3 and 4-year-old, a baby on the way. Ooh, she's going to have 3 under 4. And my mother-in-law and father-in-law in 2,000 square feet in Seattle. Yep, that's correct. I've been in lockdown with my in-laws for a year.
Oh, God.
Zero hot dogs in 2021 because I find them disgusting during this pregnancy.
Reasonable. You know what I've never asked you, Dory?
What?
Would if going, like, if you go back in time
to okay.
Henry, the pregnancy of Henry, would you hire a doula again?
Knowing what I know now?
Yes.
No.
Would you, if you could travel back in time
mm-hmm.
and say, and go, hi, Dory, it's Dory
mm-hmm.
from the future.
Mm-hmm.
would you say, don't hire a doula? Or would you be like, whatevs?
Well, knowing me.
Yes.
I think I would feel like, well, I think I need to like figure that out for myself. Thanks, self.
Can any, is there any future you that could time travel and change your mind about anything?
Maybe if future me told past me, like, look, you're going to have a 40-hour induction that's going to end in emergency C-section.
Yeah.
You're never going to go into active labor.
Yep.
Your doula isn't really going to have anything to do.
Yep.
And you're going to just be kind of annoyed that she's there being useless.
Yes.
Like even more annoyed than, yeah, you know, anything else. Yeah. And then I might be like, huh.
Well, I need to figure that out for myself. That's what you'd say.
No, then I might be like,
do you think you would have like, wait, no, what was it? Was the water level when your OBGYN mm-hmm. was like, all right, well, you guys should go to the hospital tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that...
My fluid was low.
That's right. Here's what I would do if I were future you.
Yep.
I'd go to the past and I'd go, hey, drink a fuck ton of water before you go into that appointment. And then I probably could have seen Endgame. And you could have seen Bikini Kill.
Good point.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah. Wow. I should have drunk like a gallon of Gatorade.
Like if you did, I bet you're, well, remember when your fluid was low and then
I drank so much water
and then your fluid was fine.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like it was a you thing. Not a you personally thing, but like a your body could have been like, well, we can deal with this. Just put water in me.
Yeah. I mean, she did say that like, if I wasn't at my due date and I wasn't the age that I was, she would have considered just like sending me to the hospital, like get some fluids and like seeing if that helped.
Yeah.
But
I'm saying this is a pre. This is not like...
No, I get it. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But, you know, hindsight is 2020. If I'm ever hashtag blessed enough to do this again...
To time travel?
I mean, I'll probably have to have a C-section anyway, but I will be drinking...
But don't schedule it.
No, I will schedule it.
Yes.
I will be drinking so much water.
It'll be great. You already drank a lot of water. Not as much as Henry.
Henry drinks so much water. I think Henry drinks more water than most grown adults.
Oh, 1,000%.
Because his...
I feel like sometimes his day consumption of water is my week.
His little cup is 10 ounces, and he goes through probably like at least 4 a day, don't you think?
Oh, he's drinking, like, for his size, like, the fact that he's drinking well over a liter of water every day is insane.
He's basically...
And his diapers show it.
He's Tom Brady.
There you go.
Yep. You heard it here first.
May he be half as good at football, although I feel like he'll just go into the X Games for scootering.
Yeah. I mean, he made us walk... He put his scooter in the stroller this afternoon, made us walk to the park, and then he just wanted to sit in his stroller and watch the skateboarders. I kept being like, do you want to get out? And he was like, no.
He's like just taking mental notes.
I know. It's like really cute and also slightly scary.
Everyone, like, what's funny about him is, I mean, among many things, and we're very fortunate to have him, but he loves to take his, he likes to push his scooter and drag his scooter up and down stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because he saw some kids on a scooter or skateboarders going up and down stairs.
Oh.
Like jumping stairs.
Right.
And that's his version of it.
Oh.
And he thinks he looks so cool doing it.
That's really cute.
Yeah. No, but I guarantee you that's why he does it. There's no, otherwise, why would he drag it down 2 stairs and then drag it up 2 stairs and then drag it down 2 stairs?
I mean, he does like stairs.
Yeah, I know. But he also, it's funny the way he does. Like, sometimes, like today I was watching him with his scooter and...
He's gotten really good at steering.
Sure. But I was watching him like sort of like hold his scooter like at an angle.
I was watching him do that too. Yeah.
Like he was like doing a cool trick.
I also had that thought. I was like, oh... He's trying to make it look like a skateboard.
Yeah. We should get him a skateboard.
I've looked into it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the American Pediatric Association. I mean,
he'll need elbow pads.
Yeah, says
knee
not
pads.
Says like under five is not really recommended, but there are a lot of sites that are like, here's how to get a toddler on a skateboard. And it's like, you know, knee pads, elbow pads, helmet, obviously.
Yeah.
And then there's like, it's not really like a training skateboard, but there's like all these recommendations for like the kind of skateboard to get a toddler.
Well, there you go. Who knows? Maybe he'll be a skater boy.
I mean, one of my friends sent me a video of this like 18-month-old in Quebec snowboarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, Henry would probably actually love snowboarding, but it's too much of a pain in the ass and too expensive of a hobby for me to get him into.
Oh, the problem with snowboarding is he would love it for 10 minutes, but it took 45 minutes to get him into the snowboard outfit and into the snowboard.
Not to mention it took us 5 hours to drive to like Mammoth.
Yeah, also that. Like, you know.
And we spent like, you know, $3,000, like
the house that we moved into last year right before the pandemic does have a small pool, and we thought Henry's gonna love the pool, it's gonna be great, and it takes so long to get him sunscreened and into his little wetsuit that he then spends about 5 minutes in there and then wants to leave. And it's like, well, this is not worth anybody's time.
Well, he is gonna take swimming lessons this spring.
That's good, because he's very attracted to the pool now.
Yeah, so I think that will help. And
make
I also
sure
think
the gate's locked, everybody.
I also think I'm going to do like a rash guard and swim trunks this year instead of like the full body suit, which I think will cut down on some of the time issues.
We'll see. I don't know. It is funny, because he'll be like, do you want to go in the pool? And I'll be like, yeah. Get them all in the pool. All done.
Yeah.
Out.
He flaps his little penguin hand. Yep. All right. We got some more tips from Shelley about having two under two. Here is her advice. She also says, my husband works in another province about 10 to 14 days a month. So she was alone with the two of them. Her two sons are now 24 months and 11 months. Feed them at the same time while the toddler is contained and busy. I breastfed, so in those early days by myself, when feeds take some time, I put an armchair in front of the high chair. Yes, it looked funny, and always fed the baby while the toddler ate, whether the baby was really that hungry or not. Get a double stroller to make errands and getting around easier. It's worth it. I have the Upa Baby Vista, and the ability to strap both in and have them contained has been worth the bigger price tag, but there are lots of cheaper options. Always, always, always try and have the baby sleep at some point during the toddler's nap / quiet time if you can, even if this involves some juggling. Having that 10 or 60 minutes with both kids not needing something, even if you baby wear for the nap, is priceless. My routine is still to cook / eat a lunch by myself while the kids sleep. Get out of the house. It seems so daunting to get everyone packed, dressed, loaded up. It is 100% worth it. My second was born peak core. So at that time, it meant a walk, a drive where I got a coffee, and I listened to a podcast while they chilled, or drive to a park where I would let the toddler, quote, explore and burn off energy while I wore the baby in a carrier. Prioritize sleep, whatever that means for you, but try to work on having your toddler in a good sleep routine before the baby comes, and work on getting the baby into a good routine that works for you. To the caller, you got this. You will do great. Shelley in 4,000 square feet. Ooh, it's a nice house.
I mean, you need it with a toddler and a baby.
It's true. In Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, Canada. No hot dogs in 2020 or 2021, but I just started eating meat this year after 20 plus years of vegetarianism. So I'm thinking of trying the Costco hot dog everyone talks about. I also ate a ton of BBQ flavored hot dogs as a child.
What is a barbecue flavored hot dog?
I don't know. And I don't think I care to know.
Interesting. I wonder what prompted the return to meat quarantine, I bet.
I mean, that's kind of how I felt.
Oh, I can't leave the house and I can't eat meat.
Thank you for those tips, Shelley. I hope our listener finds them helpful. I'm also taking mental notes on the off chance that we end up having another child.
But like the Vista... I mean, how long will Henry be in a stroller?
Well, the Vista also has an attachment that is like a balance board on the back that. Yeah. That he would be into. And I know a lot of people get that. Like Sam had it.
Also, he'd just pretend to be pushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd want to push the stroller probably. Yeah. All right. We got a voicemail.
Okay. Hang on. All right.
Hey, y'all. Just wanted to comment on the call-in today from the family that, you know, like the dad's kind of moved out and he doesn't feel comfortable with the kids. I mean, every once in a while, so I have a pair of 11-year-old science kids. And when they were babies, my husband and I would often do like what we call, we still do this, kind of state of the parent address, where we sit down and we figure out what's working, what's not working. And I think that would be the time to kind of talk about these issues. I love your idea, Dory, about her just leaving, because I do think that's the way you have to do it sometimes. Again, with a set of twins, we always kind of had to like be, you know, man on man. So it was very easy. It was easier for us, I'll say that. But sometimes you just had to leave the house, and that was better. Living down on the Florida Keys, 2,900 square foot house. I'd eaten no hot dogs for a while, so I had like a heart scare thing with blood pressure and stuff. But the 11-year-olds have eaten a ton, God knows. And this is Rubino Kilgo. Best pronunciation of my name I've heard from a while. Stay safe, stay healthy. Thanks, bye.
Coming to us from the Keys.
2,900 square feet in the Keys.
Wow, that's like most of one of the Keys.
He'll be here all night, folks. Good suggestions. Thank you. All right, we got a text that said, since Henry likes the scooter, you should get him a balance bike for his birthday. My three-year-old has one he got for his second birthday, and he loves riding around on it.
He has
one. Well, guess what? He has one. We do need to adjust the seat, though.
I've put him on it, and it's just, I don't know.
It doesn't grab him.
It doesn't seem to do it for him.
No.
But.
But
whatever.
The scooter didn't really do it for him for a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he was like, I'm obsessed with the scooter.
I got a scooter to scoot around with him. And today, the first time Henry saw it, I scooted up the driveway and down the driveway. And then Henry was violently trying to open my car door to make me put it back in the car. And I did. And then he was very happy that I put it away. So... there goes that bonding.
He does love your bike, though.
He just likes to look at it.
Yeah.
Whenever he sees me on it, he's like a little freaked out.
Is he?
I think so.
Because he kept like when it was in the front yard, he kept pointing to it and being like, Dita.
Yeah. Well, he helped me wash it. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Well, just a couple more messages.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, wait. No, not a voicemail. Sorry. Oh, I just meant missives.
Sorry.
This is from Joanne. I wanted to write in and ask Matt two questions. One, what telescope did you buy? Because my husband has a very old, crappy one I want to replace for him. And two, you guys should totally watch Escape to the Country. It's a long-running British show about people leaving London to buy country houses. It's delightful. It's like a British House Hunters, but with little interludes of what things happen in that episode's county. Bonus, Matt, some episodes are hosted by Alistair Appleton, former host of Cash in the Attic. Also, Matt Berry was on the IT Crowd. I can't believe you forgot to mention that one. He was so good. I think she's behind, so she's not heard you mention the IT Crowd yet.
Had I mentioned it until today?
I don't remember.
I was going to look, let me look up the, by looking at my orders, I'm going to look up the telescope here. I'm going to guess it was 4 pages ago. When did I get the telescope?
You can just search your orders for telescope.
That's a lot of batteries. Here we go. Oh, there it is, January 3rd. I got the Celestron 114 LCM computerized Newtonian telescope. Part of the telescope for beginners. Two eyepieces, full height tripod, motorized altazimuth mount. 114 millimeter Newton Rutonian reflector, and I got it with the adapter to take photos with, which has not, I have not gotten to work yet. So there you go. And it's as far as your husband, if he already has a telescope and he likes to use it, then he probably will be like, I don't know. Do I need this telescope? Is it too beginnery? I don't know. But I will say, once you've aligned it and you can punch in whatever the hell you want to look at, the telescope just moves. It's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool. All right. And our last email is from Ruben, who says, hey, guys, the Latinx term was recently discussed on the Ralph Report. They had a fan write in to share that in Spain, it's becoming common to just say Latine, L-A-T-I-N-E. So the show adopted its usage, and it actually sounds pretty darn smooth, shorter than having to say Latino or Latina, and not as clunky as Latinx. I guess it's Spain's version of the U.S.'s he or she versus they debate. Just thought I'd share, Ruben.
I'm into that. I wonder if there is there an accent de vous on the...
He didn't write one, but... On e. but
I feel like there should be. Latine.
Latine.
Spicy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Like you. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We are going to thank our Patreon supporters. Reminder, you can support us on Patreon as well. Get up to 2 bonus episodes per month at patreon.com/excellentadventure. And if you support us at the $5 level or above, you also get your name read on the podcast each month as a little thank you.
That's right. And big thanks to the following people. Elena Paling.
I'm going to say Paling.
All right.
Aaron Soares.
Freya.
Gita Drury.
Jane Ennis.
Jennifer T. Brennan.
Jenny Fick.
Jesse Carroll.
Janan H.
Joanna Reinwald.
Caitlin Donahue.
Karen Perelman.
Katie Allen.
Katie Lucy.
Carrie L.
Kristen Anderson.
Christine Kelly.
Laura Bennett.
Laura Madge.
Lauren Schultz.
Lisa Bove.
Liz Simmons.
Lynn Nugent.
Madeline McCarthy.
Mara Fass.
Maria Bishop.
Marina Breed.
Mary Messick.
Mary Myra. Hi, Mom.
Melanie Brownbeck.
Michelle Chudzinski.
Nancy Olson.
Nicola Hill.
Nicholas Skidmore.
Nicole Mustafa.
Narantha Balagopal.
Rachel Kuzma.
Rebecca Dowson.
Rob Bean.
Samantha.
Shauna Mandel.
Sir Reginald Pennybottom.
Susanna Perez.
And Wendy Fick.
Well, there you go.
Thank you all so very much.
Thank you. We'll all see you in about a week.
All right.
Bye.
So long.